Well, good morning once again. Glad that you are with us this morning, spending your Sunday morning worshiping with us. You feel Jesus this morning? Pray that you do. Couple of cards. If you are our guest this morning, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. We are extremely glad that you are here as our guest and hope you feel welcome. Hope you feel the love of Jesus in this place. There's a card that's got a blue stripe on the top that says guest. Would love for you to fill that out, and you might be some cookie dough in the deal for you. Robert, you can't fill one of these out. You can't fill one of these out. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer. Would love to meet you. You can bring this with you, and I can meet you. If you don't want to do it that way, you can just leave that in the seat in front of you. There's also a card with a black stripe that says Get Connected. If you've been here for a while and you feel like the Lord is leading you perhaps to make a commitment to us as a church family or to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, any of those things, you can fill that card out and I'll be in contact with you. I found out we had one of those last week filled out that went away. I don't know if it accidentally got thrown away with some of our trash, but we try to do better at that, so we will try to do better. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Now, I'm not going to read this part, but one of my favorite psalms, this psalm starts out, I'm going to pick it up in verse 5, but in verse 1 it says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." Isn't that awesome? Don't you just love the imagery of that? How a deer going down to get a drink and yearning for that, the thirst of that. And then it goes on to say, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Now that same psalmist who started out this psalm talking about his soul panting for God, just the yearning for God. We pick it up in verse 5, Psalm 42, verse 5. "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" This is the same psalmist that just three verses earlier is saying how he longs to be with God. Now he's saying, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" That's the question he's asking. He goes on to say, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me." This is the same soul that was thirsting for God as a deer pants for water. "Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar." Let's pray. Father, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit to teach us. I say this often, Lord, but nobody wants to hear from me. I don't even want to hear from me. I want to hear from you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak in power and authority, have an impact and change our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So I continue the sermon series today, Got Hope. Now, we've talked, this is the third weekend. And I started off the first week basically saying that, and I used the scripture that out of 1 Thessalonians, how it says that we all grieve. Everybody grieves, but Christians, their grief is different. Their grief has hope attached to it, and hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And so everything that we're going to be, that we go through in this life, the hope that we have, to just summarize this series, the hope that we have is Jesus. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. So today, hope for fear and depression. Hope for fear and depression. Now, I find it interesting, this psalm today, it starts out, this psalmist is saying, man, I'm hungry for God. I am yearning for him as a deer pants for water. That's how I'm feeling right now. But that seems to be that he's encouraged. But then four verses later, he's saying, "Wow, downcast, O my soul." So what that tells me is that even as believers, we can go through high points and low points. We can go through valleys. We can have great days when our circumstances are wonderful, and we can have those moments when we wonder where God is. Sometimes those things could result in fear, perhaps even depression. Now, I want to talk for a second about this word phobia, which the sermon's not on phobias, but phobia is an irrational fear of something that, I love this definition I looked up, that is unlikely to cause harm. It's we're afraid of something that's probably not going to happen. Did you know most of the things we worry about in life usually don't even happen? Did you know that? So we're going to have a test this morning. I'm going to give you a phobia, and your job is to identify what that phobia is. It's going to be the fear of something. The first one, flash it up there, Lee. Arachnophobia. What is that? Fear of spiders. I wanted you to be encouraged and get the first one, okay? The fear of spiders. All right, throw that next one up there. Acrophobia. Oh, so what happened to all the smart alecks out there? Heights. We got a few intelligent people, and the rest of you are on my level. It's okay. Who said heights? Raise your hand if you said heights. Now, Lahan, I think you're fibbing back there. All right, let's go to the next one. Now, this one, balonophobia. Now, this is, I want to give you a hint. This is not the fear of baloney. So don't even say that. Balonophobia, come on. Nobody? What did it say again? It's not baloney. Well, I heard somebody say something. Being alone. No, that's good guess. Fear of needles. I happen to have someone that's in my life that kind of, sort of, maybe is borderline on this. I won't name any names. Claustrophobia, another easy one, claustrophobia. Yep, fear of confined spaces. Thanatophobia. Well, somebody say it, say it loud. Fear of death. Coulrophobia. Also, this is another one that someone in my life, this is a biggie for them. Color? No. Fear of clowns. All right, I'm not going there. Hemophobia, another easy one. Blood. Now, this is one I'm just being honest with you this morning. This is one I struggle with a great deal myself, personally. Sparklophobia. Go ahead, throw it up there, Lee. Intense fear of glitter. It's not just a fear of glitter, it's an intense fear. Now, I want it known, if you've been around here long, you know that I think glitter is evil. But I don't have a fear of glitter, I just think it's really, really annoying. Okay? Carlene and I, you know, we go round and round. I'm constantly like sitting on a chair, and it's like I get up and you've heard me say this, I've got a piece of glitter on me that's been there since 1967. I'm not sure where it floats around, but it's sometimes you can see it, it's on my face or something. But once you get glitter on, it's there. I'm just saying. So, all right, we have some fun with that. But fear is a real thing, isn't it? And I want to say this, just a side note. What's the opposite? I mean, this is not to shame anybody if you're fearful of anything. What's the opposite of fear? Faith. Trust. I mean, if we're fearful of something, you know, these guys, you know, they have these like ginormous snakes all wrapped around it. Just pet it. It's really nice. Just pet it. You know, it's like, well, I don't like snakes. I don't like snakes. But if you're going to pet the snake, you're going to trust that guy knows what he's talking about, that the snake is safe. Sometimes they don't know what they're talking about, and bad things have happened. But the opposite of fear is faith. We trust someone for the things that we are fearful of. Now, I mentioned this last week, but I want to say it again because I think it's significant, is that these things that we're talking about that in this hope series, and I'll just read off, we've talked about loneliness and discouragement. Today we're talking about fear and depression, and next week we'll be talking about guilt and shame. Those things in our lives, those are not from God. Hello? Steve, is this on? They're not from God. If you're experiencing any of those things, they're not from God. They are the fruit of the enemy. He wants us to be lonely. He wants us to feel isolated. He wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to fear. He wants us to be depressed. He wants us to have guilt and shame. That's what he wants. That's his desire for us. That's the fruit of the enemy. But God's word tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the heart of the Spirit for us. We have this enemy. Jesus said it this way: the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then he wants us feeling isolated, lonely, and depressed, and fearful, and all these things. He wants that for us because he wants to destroy us. But God said that he's come to give us life and give us life abundantly. And he's given us the Spirit of God that lives inside of us if we have professed him as our Lord and Savior. And so we don't have to be fearful. We can have, instead of fear, we can have peace if we tap in to the Spirit that lives inside of us. So, I want to, as I talk about these things and how I'm going to talk about three different ways we can overcome fear and depression. So I want you to know these are not all-inclusive lists. I mean, it's not as simple as 1, 2, 3, but they are some important ways that we can overcome fear and depression. We can overcome fear and depression if we, first of all, put our trust in God. And I talked about that earlier. So this psalmist that from Psalm 42 that we just read says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me?" He's asking the question, and then he moves into the solution. He says, "Put your hope in God." Why am I so downcast? Why is my soul so downcast? Just put my hope in God. Trust him. Are you discouraged? Are you fearful? Are you depressed? Put your hope in God. Trust him, because I want to tell you, he is faithful. Many of you have heard this story, and I'm going to give the quick Reader's Digest version, but when I was going in from the computer world into ministry around 20 years ago, there was a time there when I had quit my computer job, and that was risky. I know there's people thought I'd lost my mind, but Cheryl and I prayed, and we had been waiting upon the Lord, and we knew the timing was right, and so we're in this process, and for about a year and a half, 2 years, things weren't happening the way I thought they were supposed to happen. Doors, I thought, were open. They were starting to open, and then they would shut. And I just, in all honesty, part of me, I was angry at God, and I've talked about that, where I was like, "God, where you at, God? I put my family at risk here because I trust you. Where you at?" And I was, and also as I was talking about this or thinking about this series, especially today, I realized I was fearful. I was fearful. And I've told this story, but long story short, I'd never fasted in my whole life. I'd never fasted, but I'd heard someone said, "Hey, that they were fasting. They had an issue that they were dealing with God, and they needed to hear something from them. They were going to fast until they heard something from God." So something resonated about that in me, and I had never done it. And I thought, you know what? Not in a pouty sort of way, but just in a, "Lord, I'm desperate to hear from you." I just said, "Lord, I'm just not going to eat until I hear from you." And long story short, I did great. I went 11 days, which is still to this, because if you know me, I like to eat. And to this day, I was just, I'm amazed that I didn't eat for 11 days. And I went home, and Cheryl is firing up some chips and hot sauce and some Mexican food for lunch. And I had had lunch with people and not all for those 11 days. Never once was I hungry. The Lord was sustaining me as I saw him. But I saw those chips and hot sauce. I want to tell you, I told Cheryl, I said, I'm going to the bedroom. I'll be back here in a little bit. So I went to the bedroom, and I opened my Bible and said, Lord, I want me some chips and hot sauce. I know y'all probably never prayed for chips and hot sauce, but I said, Lord, I want some chips and hot sauce, and I need to either take this hunger from me or talk to me. I'm needing to hear from you. And I cracked open the book, and I didn't even really look where I just opened it up, it opened up to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And it goes on to say, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And then he said something about bringing nourishment to your bones. And man, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I mean, I began to just weep because I knew that the Lord was saying, I got this, Jeff. I know you're afraid. I know you've been angry at me. I know you're confused. I got this. Just trust me. And I just was just weeping, and I went back into the kitchen, and Cheryl's like, what in the world's going on? And I just said, throw me down some hot chips and hot sauce right here. You can overcome fear and depression and anything else that ails us if we trust God, because he is trustworthy. He is faithful. God tells us in Hebrews, he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I mean, it's there in Hebrews 13. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What is there out there that can be bigger than God in my life? We trust all sorts of things that are untrustworthy. And I know some of you are going to be relating to this. We trust our health. I'll always be healthy. I'll always be able to do what I like to do. Guess what? Newsflash, these bodies break down. And ultimately, it's not real encouraging, except when we know the rest of the story. They break down and we die. We just do. So if we're placing our health, our trust in our health, it'll fail us. Just wait. We trust in our bank account. Well, I mean, back in the 20s, I've just read about it. Back in the 20s when the Great Depression, 20s and 30s in there, the people jumping out of windows because they had trusted their bank account. They had trusted the stock market. Jumping out of windows. The stock market wasn't trustworthy. God is. Man, we trust all sorts of things in our lives, our popularity and our friendships, and those are great things to have friends and all, but I'm just telling you, the only thing that absolutely will not let us down is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all we got. Everything else is sinking sand, as Scripture says. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, and I would add in there, I do not give to you as the world gives, like your health, these other things you trust. I don't give peace like that. I give peace that transcends understanding and circumstances and all of the above. So he gives us his peace, and then he goes on to say, Jesus says, so don't let your hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid. Put your trust in me, Jesus is saying. My peace. This is easy for us to say, but when hard times come, It's very difficult to walk it out, isn't it? Second thing, we can overcome fear and depression if we praise God. Now, I've said this many times, but I don't know that we've really fully tapped into this and really understand it. We can overcome fear and depression if we praise God. Praise, now listen to me now, praise is spiritual warfare. Hello? Are you listening? Praise is spiritual warfare. It is a weapon that we have at our disposal against fear, against depression, against all of the above, all those things that the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy us with. Praise comes against that. Listen to the psalmist this that we just read is Psalm 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Not only put your hope in God, and then he says, For I will yet praise him. He's saying, man, my soul is downcast. I mean, I am a mess, but I'm going to praise him. And I've told this story, quick version of it, is pastor friends of mine, I was not on the trip, but he tells me about it, and these three pastors, and they go backpacking, and they're wanting to fly fish, and they're needing some R&R, and really going to spend several days up in the mountains fly fishing, and it's pouring down rain. And this pastor friend of mine says, I was just mad. This was my time to recover. This is my time of vacation, and I had been looking forward to this, and we hiked all the way up in the mountains, and it won't stop raining. And the three of them had three little tents in a circle, and he's over there just steaming. And then one of the other pastors begins to sing praise songs. As the rain, as they're looking, you know, can you just, I want you to picture, they're in these little pup tents, and they got the doors open, and this little guy starts singing praise song. And my other pastor friend that was mad, he said, that just made me madder. It was kind of like, how dare you praise when God is ruining my fishing trip? And then the second pastor, he begins to join him. And that made him even madder. And finally, after the Lord did a little business with my friend, he joins too. And the three of them are watching the rain pelt their tents, ruining their fishing trip, and they're praising God. And guess what? This doesn't always happen this way, but guess what? In just a few minutes, the rain stopped. Praise is spiritual warfare, friends. When we praise God, something happens in the spiritual realm. It's not just, oh, you know, it's like, well, I can't really sing that well. It's like, no, man, just give your praises to God, and something is going on with that in the spiritual realm. Philippians, this is, y'all know this is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Rejoice in the Lord most of the time. Oh, it doesn't, mine, yours doesn't say that? No, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious, fear. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And listen to this, here's the promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Praise is spiritual warfare. If you are fearful, if you are depressed, try praising God. Now, I know that there's some medical conditions that can affect us and as far as depression and so forth, and I'm not trying to get out in front of our medical community. I'm just telling you, sometimes we just need to take our eyes off of woe is me. We need to stop looking at the rain and just praise God. Stop looking at how he spoiled my fishing trip and just praise God. Thirdly, we can overcome fear and depression if we remember God's past faithfulness. My soul is downcast, the psalmist says. Therefore, What do? We go back and read what it's there for. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. He is saying, my soul is downcast, but I'm going to trust you, I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to remember what you've already done in my life. He says, I will remember from the land of the Jordan. And when God brought, God had been so faithful to the Israelites. He brought them out of bondage, and he opened up the sea, and they crossed, and he was with them. He provided food and nourishment for them for 40 years, and then he divided the Jordan River where they could cross over into the promised land. There was just all these things that God had done for them, and in the midst of his soul being downcast, he said, you know, I remember what you've done for me. And it's almost like he's saying, so why am I so downcast? I remember what you've done for me. I remember who you are. And that same message is found in Isaiah. Isaiah says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Why? For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Remember who you are. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Isaiah is speaking back to those things. When you walk through the fire, and you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember that story? The Lord was in the furnace with them. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You want to overcome fear and depression in your life? Remember who God is and what he's done for you. I've told you all this before, but that couple of years there where I was angry, I was afraid that the Lord maybe I hadn't listened well. Maybe I didn't know for sure what I was doing. And maybe he didn't know what he was doing. And I went through those times of anger and fear, and yet I'm standing here preaching to an awesome church and have been for 17 and a half years. I remember what the Lord has done for me, and you are one of the many things he's done for me. And I think I've shared this. I don't even know if Cheryl knew it the first time I shared it, but I remember when I was in the computer world and I just had this yearning desire to just be a pastor. I mean, it was just, and there was this little old dinky church. I mean, it's probably no bigger than my, you know, metal building out in the back of my yard, but it was for sale. It was for sale. And I remember driving by that church and thinking, I'd like to have that church. I'd like to be the pastor of that church. I'd like to start a church right there. I didn't know how to do it, and it certainly don't think that was the Lord's will, but I just remember I had that yearning in my heart to just be a pastor. It's to love on people on behalf of Christ. And so I remember what the Lord has done for me. How about you, church? What's the Lord done for you? Do you remember? And maybe you're in that, you may be in that season right now where, like I was in that time and transition, where you wonder, God, and I can remember, and it freaked Cheryl out because I said I was going for a jog, which I never do that. And I kid you not, there was no association with this church whatsoever, and I was jogging right out there on that track. And I was giving God the business. He should have zapped me right there. Should have been all over with. But I stopped right out here under these trees, and I was just like, God, I trusted you. Where are you? I trusted you. And I remember back to that time, and yet that was a valley. And we all have those in life. I'm not sure where you are in that line, but I know we face those things. God is faithful, and He will bring us through if we trust Him, if we praise Him, and if we remember His faithfulness. And I'll tell you, God doesn't just talk a good game. You know, it's one thing. You ever had? If you've done this, I've done this. We tell people, you know, let's say they're really sick, and we say something like, "If you need anything, let me know." I know I'm probably the only one that's ever said anything like that. If you need anything, let me know. And if they really asked something of us, we'd probably run the other direction, right? It's like, what if they said, "I really need my yard mowed the next month"? Maybe we'd do it. Maybe we would. But many times it's just an empty thing we say because we want people to know we love them and we care about them. If there's anything I can do. Well, Jesus doesn't just talk a good game. He didn't say, if you need redeeming from your brokenness, let me know. No, He sent Jesus. I mean, it's a tangible thing He did. He sent Jesus, and Jesus, the night that He was, before He went to the cross, and it wasn't a surprise to Him. Remember, we've talked about how many times Jesus said what was going to happen leading up to that entrance into Jerusalem. So Jesus said, "This is now." He says, "No longer do you have to sacrifice lambs and have this Passover meal celebrating that once a year. Now I'm the new Passover lamb. My body is broken for you. It's a once and done thing." And then He blessed the cup and He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you." It's not, He doesn't just talk a good game. He demonstrated His love for us through His broken body and His spilt blood. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for this meal. We thank You for what it means. Jesus, you established this meal and You said, when you do it, remember me. Remember the sacrifice that I make because I love You. So bless this bread and this cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Jesus. Amen. I invite you, if you would, just on a personal note, bow your heads, if you would. Just repent of your own personal sin. We don't come to this table as a perfect people, we come as a redeemed people. So just confess your own personal sins to our holy God. Church, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen.